Man, open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity you've placed in our hands. We ask you, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'll communicate with us. God, we just need to hear from you, Lord. Father, there's nothing else, Lord God, that satisfies us. There's nothing else, Lord God, that can get inside of our hearts and do us good, Lord. So many things the world has to offer, Lord God, but Father, they're just all fakes. They're imitations, the real thing. We ask your Spirit to be amongst us this morning in an amazing way. The power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to do amazing things in our hearts. And Father, we ask for the anointing to be upon each of us, Lord, that we might receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you know anything about the Bible, this is one of those chapters that is really, really popular. It's one of those things that they read a whole lot at weddings and so on and so forth. But I want to skip down kind of to the end of a little piece of it, verse number 13. So 1 Corinthians 13, 13. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible because it's got some real cool things that kind of fit in between the words. It says, "And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectations of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others, growing out of God's loves for me. These three, the choicest grace, but the greatest of these is love." And now a lot of times whenever we read that last verse, it's kind of the culmination of the love chapter. One of the things we automatically do is we skip over the first two that he's named and we go, oh, it's love. Love is so good. And I got to tell you something, folks, love is good. Amen. It's good. How many of y'all enjoy being loved by somebody? Amen. Amen. And I'm finding out more and more it's the little people that get, whenever they love me, it's best. Amen. I mean, yesterday, whenever we were leaving men's camp out, Emma was there to pick up her dad. Well, she had her mom there. She didn't drive by herself. But anyway, she seen me and she says, "Granddad," and she started running towards her. That just is so good, you know? Love is a good thing. But there's two other things that they mention here, as the Amplified Bible puts it. It's the choicest graces. It talks about faith, and it also talks about hope. And this morning, I want to spend some time on hope. There's a lot of things you can be addicted to. We just talked about Teen Challenge, and you know, Teen Challenge is a place for men to go that they can get control over addictions in their lives. There's a lot of things to be addicted to. It wasn't very long ago. I think I was addicted to Dr. Pepper. I called it the drink of the gods. Oh, it was so good. See, I don't drink coffee, and so there was caffeine. I need a little caffeine in the mornings. And rarely did I drink caffeine. I mean, Dr. Pepper outside of the morning. But, man, I'm telling you, in the mornings, I had to have it. Had to have it. If I didn't have my Dr. Pepper, I was just, like, in a tizzy. But then I quit Dr. Pepper. And now I just have to have water in the mornings. No caffeine bump. I just have to trust the Lord to give me a bump. I mean, you can be addicted to anything. You can be addicted to drugs. You can be addicted to alcohol. You can be addicted to cigarettes. There's so many addictions to have. But this morning, I got to tell you, I'm really hoping that this church will take off and begin to have a positive addiction rather than a negative addiction. Amen? I mean, man, you can be addicted to a lot of things that are good. Like, you can be addicted to God's Word. You can say, man, I just cannot put this thing down. I can't get enough. That's awesome. This morning, I'm praying that we have a people, a body here called Trinity Assembly, that is addicted to hope. I want to tell you, folks, hope is important. We read that last verse there in the love chapter, and we say, man, love is so important. But man, he names off faith, and he names off hope right before it. He says, yeah, the greatest of these things is love. But I got to tell you, man, faith and hope are right up there next to the top as well. We've got to have love. We've got to have hope. Folks, hope is this thing that helps us make up our minds to have an attitude of I just won't quit. Come on. That's what hope does. It gets on the inside of you, and all of a sudden you begin to say, listen, man, I don't care what, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up, because hope is on the inside of me, and hope is moving me forward. In a congregation like ours, hope is something that gets on the inside of us and says, hey, I'm not going to stand still. I'm going to believe God for every one of these pews to be full. You know what I'm believing God for? I'm believing God for all these pews to be filled, and all of you who come in late won't have a seat. I just want you to come in one Sunday morning and go, whoa, whoa. Ushers, do you have a chair? It's going to be so funny. I'm hoping that this community is reached by this congregation in such a way that we fill it up, that we run it over in Jesus' name. That's what I'm believing, because there are still a lot of people around us that do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Hope is that thing that just says, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stand still. I'm going to do something for the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19, the kind of the last part of this verse, it says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. This hope that God delivers to his people, it says it's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. This morning, I'd share a little story with you. Whenever I was probably 8-10 years old, my middle brother had a job, and one of his jobs was working for this company that he worked for was to dig up these big pieces of concrete that were buried in the ground that at one time were anchors for these big steel posts that they had. They'd cut the posts off, but these concrete anchors, my brother was hired to dig them up and haul them off. And being a dumb kid, my brother got me in on it. He said, hey, come and help me. I'll pay you like a nickel an hour. So he put me down in the hole with a pick. And you have to understand, man, everything digging in New Mexico is twice as hard as digging here. They got this material called caliche that's down in the ground. And, oh, my Jesus, I don't know why he put it there. Why couldn't he have put it somewhere else besides where I lived at? I have to be honest with you, by the time we dug up the first couple of those big old concrete blocks, and I have to tell you, they were like 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot of solid concrete. That was one of those strong and trustworthy anchors. You understand what I'm saying? If you nip your dog's leash to that, he's not going to run off. Come on. Hey, you nip your husband's leash to that, he's not going to run off. It's one of them blocks of concrete that's just amazingly heavy. We worked for 2 or 3 days getting it up out of the hole so we could haul it off. All we had was an old four-wheel drive pickup, but we got it. Then finally we were hauling it down the road. My brother was just going a little bit faster and a little bit faster, and that block of concrete was going back there, and all of a sudden we got up to the amount of speed. My brother just says, hey, what if we have to stop? Because that concrete block was moving down the road. My life flashed before me, my young life. I thought my brother was going to kill me right there. Folks, the Bible says in Romans 15:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's a prayer for the people. The writer of the book of Romans, he's saying, listen, he says, I pray to God, the God that is the source of hope. Listen to this. He says, I want him to fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Folks, I want to tell you something. Whenever you've got a whole lot of hope inside of you, it's hard not to have joy. Man, if you know that you know that you know that hope is just on the inside of you, just working its work on the inside of you, it's hard not to have joy. It's hard not to have peace. He says, I want that God to fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. You see, you can't be filled with hope. You can't be filled with joy and peace unless you trust in the Word of God. This book is true. Every word in it is true. And it was all written for us. It's all written for us. The promises of God are written so that you and I can trust in them, so that our peace and our joy and our hope literally overflows. Paul, in his letter here, addresses the church and he says, I want you to be a people of hope. And you see, that's just where I'm at this morning. I want all of us in here to be a people of hope. Because I really believe that the level of greatness for any church out there today, anything that the church says, listen, we can attain this measure right here. This is where we want to be. It all depends on our level of hope. If we hope, we believe that God is going to fill these pews, that God is going to use us as instruments of reconciliation all throughout our community. Folks, you have to understand that all depends on hope. There's a lot of churches out there that have lost their hope. I talked to somebody not very long ago, and they said, listen, our church has zero kids in it. We have no children's ministry. We have no youth ministry. And everybody in our church is over the age of 55. And this is what he confessed. He says, whenever the last one of the people in our church die off, we will have no more church. Oh, man, that's great. It's coming from the pastor. You have to understand. But he was just very disillusioned. He was just very empty of hope. I mean, this morning, I'm thankful we got a young church. I'm thankful we got seniors. I'm thankful we got babies all over the place. Man, there's more car seats in the foyer than there are chairs in there. I'm thankful for that. But you have to understand, past that, I'm believing God for a harvest in this community. I'm believing Him to reach out through the people of this church and make an impact. And the greatness of our church will depend on how much hope you and I have inside of us. I love enthusiasm. Man, I've been going to the softball games at night. I missed the last one, but I've been going to the softball games at night, and it's amazing. Our group is... I mean, we've only lost one time. I think we're 6-1. And I mean, they've been playing pretty good. And so I get there different than other years, and they're winning. And so, like, Monday night's game, I'm going to show up Monday night's game, and I'm going to have a little enthusiasm. I'm going to be up there honking my horn and cheering them on. Man, whenever the heavy hitters get up to the bag, I'm going to be saying, hit a home run. Go for it. See, because there was times, I guess, whenever we were playing, whenever I would go, just get out quick and let's put this thing out of its misery. Come on now. I know I'm picking on our softball team, but I love what our softball team's about. It's not about winning. It's about the fellowship that's among the men. It's about getting out and being part of this body that belongs in this community. Fellowship with other brothers that are other sisters playing softball. I mean, man, they got some women that play on some of the other teams that those women are mean. They get up there and swing that bat like Babe Ruth. It's good to have enthusiasm. Enthusiasm comes from hope. You see, God can do a lot of things through a group of people who has enthusiasm and vision. And I pray that the power of God moves in each one of our hearts every Sunday morning. And you and I are going to leave touched, and we're going to leave ministered to, and we're going to be filled with hope. I want to be filled with hope. I want to be filled with hope, and then I want to be running over. I want people having to go behind me and vacuum up the hope that just dribbled out of me. I'm telling you, man, whenever you got hope, things are okay. But the problem that so many of us have today, and I'm going to tell you, I'm right there sometimes, is we struggle against losing our hope. There's a struggle sometimes to just hang on to the hope that we have. There's a struggle sometimes to gain more hope that we need for a given situation. Because, folks, I got to tell you something. The enemy, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he is a thief. He comes to kill, and he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. And one of the things I tell you that he loves to walk off with out of your wallet is your hope. He loves to bring a sneak attack against you and take away your hope. He tries his very, very best. He knows this about individuals. He knows this about churches, that we are defeated if we lose our hope. Let me say that again. We're defeated, folks. We've lost if we lose our hope. Hope can be shattered for a lot of different reasons, and it can be shattered over loss, lots of concerns. I mean, We can have our hope shattered because of things family does. Have you ever been disappointed in your family? Oh, my goodness gracious. I am right now. Not the ones that live here. I mean, I just talked to my folks. I talked to folks about, and it just, you know, they need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Your kids can disappoint you. Hope can be shattered because your kids are living lives that you never taught them to live. Marriages, let me just tell you something. Not all marriages are good. There's a lot of conflict and a lot of strife in marriages. Sometimes people just come to the end of their rope and they just say, man, I have no hope for my marriage. I have no hope for my health. I mean, health problems today, man, it seems like there's more and more health problems. Or maybe there's just more advertisements about things that can help your health problems on TV. Maybe that's it. Man, there's a lot of diseases they talk about I've never even heard of. Never even heard. I think they made some of these up just so they could sell you pills. The warning labels go behind those pills. This pill will cause you to eat grass and jump up and down. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to take that pill because I don't want to be eating grass. I think Nebuchadnezzar is the one that went through that. So it could be your health that you just come to a place where the doctor is just giving you so much bad news. Bad news, bad news, bad news to where you just lost your hope. It can be your finances. It seems like you're always behind on your finance. And then you lose your job and you're at that starting point all over again. You can lose your hope whenever you're trying to break an addiction. You can lose your hope whenever you're trying to get back on track spiritually. Do you know how many people struggle with staying on track spiritually? They walk out of this room and they're pumped up because Jesus has just met with them, and they walk out and the enemy just begins to tempt them and they fall to those temptations. And it just seems like sometimes people just come and they just lose their hope because they can't get back on spiritually. So what is hope? I mean, this morning I'm not really going to try to define it, but I'm just going to give you my point of view. Hope is this. It's a positive feeling that generates a productive work. It's really all it is. Something on the inside of you that just says, hey, something good is going to happen to me today. And I'll tell you why. Because I read this book right there, and there's a gazillion promises that God's going to do something for me today that's going to be awesome. That's hope. Just something going on the inside of you. You can't really reach out tangibly and grab it. It's just something inside of you that says, man, I have a God that is my heavenly Father, and he spoke and everything came into existence, and he is going to take time today to help me manage my day. He's going to give me wisdom. He's going to give me blessing. His presence is going to be in my life. Something good is going to happen to me today. That's hope. I mean, so often people get up and they go through their whole day, and not once does the idea ever cross their mind that something good is going to happen to them, because they've been beat down. They've been trampled over. Are you with me? The enemy has stolen so much for them. They just said, man, if I can just make it through today, I'll be all right. You see, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not a whole bag full of diamonds. Hope is perhaps the most precious commodity you can have. You're going to offer me a couple of bricks of gold versus my hope? I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to hang on to my hope. Now, if you want to give me those bricks of gold free, that's okay. You see, you take away a man's health and you just slow him down. You take away his wealth and you just inconvenience him. But you take away his hope and it renders him ineffective. Come on, are you there with me? You take away his health and it just slows him down. You take away his wealth, it's just an inconvenience. But you take away his hope and it makes him ineffective. You see, where there is hope. And as a pastor, I've been in a lot of sticky situations with people. But it's such a wonderful prize for me as a pastor to meet with somebody that's going through a difficult time in their lives. Things just seem to be encroaching from every direction. And they say, Pastor, this is what my life is like. And they just tell me one thing after the other after the other. That's just a horrible situation that they're in. But at the end of it, they go, but God, he's a big God. And I know he's got his hand on my life. And I know he's going to bring me through this. You see, as a pastor, that just makes me jump on the inside. A lot of good things can be said about the place where hope is found. I mean, somebody leaves my office, and even though they're entangled in this horrible mess, and they say, man, I've got hope that God's going to come through for me. Man, as a pastor, I know they're going to make it. It's the ones that come in and say, Pastor, I'm in dire straits. It's a mess. And I just simply don't know what to do. I have no idea how this is going to come out. Are y'all with me? You see, it's them that I grieve for. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if you only had a double portion of hope in this. Back to Romans 15, it says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. Can I just share with you something that I've wanted for a long time? I've never gotten this, but I want it really bad. I want, whenever I pray, God to answer my prayers right then. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right then. God, I need. Poof, I got it. Some of you I've been praying for 14 years about. Now, do you know why I want it to happen right now? The Bible says we wait patiently. And I know all of you are like me. You love to wait, yes? You see, whenever you pray and God doesn't instantaneously answer your prayer, and I got to be very honest with you, there's only a handful of prayers that I've ever prayed to God where he's answered it instantaneously. Are you there with me? I mean, just a handful, and I've prayed a lot of prayers in my life, and most of the prayers I've prayed by a long, long, long amount, they have been answered way on down the line. Months, weeks, sometimes just a few days. Those are the wonderful ones. But some, I'm still waiting on God. I'm waiting patiently on him. And I keep saddling up that same horse, and I go to God and I say, God, I'm praying for my dad. God, I need you to move in his life. He's unsaved. He's away from you. But I don't want him to go in eternity without Jesus in his life. And I got to tell you something. Without hope, I would have quit praying that prayer a long time ago. But see, I'm still hoping. I'm still believing that God wants him in his kingdom. God wants him to be saved. I'm believing that. It says scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently. See, there's some times that I feel that hope draining out of me. I just feel it draining. I can almost hear it like the kitchen sink whenever it's going. And I have to go back to God's word. I have to go to Acts, and I have to read that story about the jailer. Whenever Paul and Silas were set free, he says, hey, it's for you and your whole family. You see, I'm still praying for my brothers, but I wait patiently for God's promises to me to be fulfilled. Now, this morning, I can't talk about hope in the brightest light all the way through this message, because I really believe that there's a dark side to hope as well. And the dark side is, sometimes it's really hard to wait. It's hard to wait and still have hope that's alive and hope that's strong. You know, like I said a while ago, I just want to be filled with hope till it's running over, till you guys are just having to vacuum up behind me as I go down the road. What is that? It's pastor's hope. It's just everywhere. I want that hope, but sometimes the honest truth of the matter is this. Sometimes my hope is not so strong. It's not so alive. It's on life support. There's so many things that can come along and discourage us. Whenever these discouragements come, that's whenever we go back to the scriptures. That's whenever we go back to what God said. That's whenever we go back and see what God says so that we can have the encouragement that we need to keep on hoping, to find our hope and to keep it strong. You have to understand, a few years back, we moved from Winston-Salem to Lewistown, Montana, and everything was wonderful. God was moving in our lives. We were taking on a new ministry, believing God to build us a church in Montana. And about 2 weeks after we arrived in Montana, my wife went blind in her right eye. And a few tests and doctors later, we found out that she had MS. Multiple sclerosis. I didn't think anything about it. Went to God, prayed. God just gave me a word, and it was a real peace in my heart, knowing that my wife was going to be healed. And I'll just be very honest with you. I thought a couple of months of this nonsense, and it'd be all over. And then whenever a couple of months went by, I thought, man, give it 6 months tops, and we're going to kick this thing down in Jesus' name. There's no disease that can stand against my God and the power that he has in his baby finger. And I'm just thinking, man, 6 months, we got this thing whipped, man. Man, I'm going to the scriptures. I'm reading. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. It says he sent his word and he healed us. He delivered us from our destructions. And I'm standing on that word. I'm believing those stripes that Jesus took on his back as he marched methodically to the cross of Calvary. He was whipped beyond recognition, and he was whipped for our healing. And I'm just saying to myself, I'm saying, God, 6 months of this. And you know what? 6 months came and went. And I said, God, a year for sure, man, we're going to have this thing whipped. It's been more than a year. It's been more than a decade. We're moving up quickly onto 2 decades that she's battled this disease. And I'm going to tell you something. There has been times whenever my hope has been on life support. There's been days whenever I've gotten up, and I got to tell you, my hope is just almost completely drained out of me. I'm thinking to myself, man, self, I'm not going to have a wife before very long because this disease is ultimately going to take her. And then I've got to go back to the Word. Are y'all with me? Amen. This morning, I may just be preaching this to myself, and I just tell you, that's okay if that's the truth. But sometimes I just got to get up and I got to go back to the Word, because it says here, the scriptures that were given a long time ago, they're the place that we go to find hope and to find encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. I got to go back to the Word. I go, okay, God, what did you say? And whenever he says it, I got to say, God, who did you say it to? Who did you say it to? And whenever that begins to reverberate through my heart, I got to tell you, hope begins to rise. For the last few weeks, you see, God's been dealing with me about hope. And I thought he was just dealing with me personally, because there's been a couple of days where I just felt it kind of leak out. So I thought he was just dealing with me personally. And then all of a sudden he began to me last week dealing about this sermon. And so I said, God, I'm going to preach this thing, because maybe it's not just me. Maybe there's some people out there that it's hard for them because they had to wait. It's hard for them because there's been so much time in between whenever something took place in their life and the miracle that you're sending. And it's just hard to keep hope alive. It's hard to keep hope strong because there's so many things that discourage us. I can remember the first time that I ordered a walker from Amazon.com and took it into my house. And I said, Renee, you're going to have to start using this. I'm telling you, man, that day hope sucked. I'm just being honest with you. And there's just been one day after another like that, but I just got to keep going back. And I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me, but I want you all to understand that it is hope, and it is only hope, that is keeping me doing what it is I need to do as a husband. I'm going back to the scriptures. I'm going to say, I don't care if she's got a walker or she doesn't have a walker. The promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe. And that scripture that was written down so many years ago by these men that were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, that scripture is true. It is forever settled in heaven. Everything's going to pass away, but that word right there is going to remain forever. And my God, he is not a liar. He keeps his promises. He has made covenant with me. Woo! And so I go to these scriptures, and that's where hope and encouragement begins to flood my soul as I wait patiently. Remember what I said I wanted a while ago? A right now kind of God. But I have to wait patiently on his promises to be fulfilled. Whenever these discouragers come into our life, that's whenever we got to go back to the scripture. That's whenever we have to get encouragements to keep on hoping, to find our hope, and to keep our hope strong. I want strong hope. My wife was telling me about a sermon she was listening to not very long ago, and the guy compared strong. He was talking about strong, and he says, you know, like strong like horseradish. I'm saying, yeah, I understand that. That stuff is strong, man. It'll open up your sinuses and every pore in your body. A couple of tablespoons of that. Some lady mixed up a concoction of that and several other things and gave it to for a cold one time that I had. And I took a couple of tablespoons of it and I thought I was going to die. I prayed to die. Cold was the worst thing I was going to have. In Romans 15:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow. Listen to this. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, a while ago when I was talking about overflowing with hope, you guys, not just pastors, just being silly. I'm telling you, that's biblical. It's biblical. Whenever you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, even though you're not at the end of the tunnel yet. That's what it is. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You see, the bridge between hopelessness and hope, it's got to be the Word of God. Whenever you're hopeless and you're there sitting down and saying, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. And you read the Word of God and the pages just begin to jump off and just get in your heart. And all of a sudden you understand that the bridge between you being hopeless and you being full of hope, it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. This is what God says. Hallelujah. The scriptures have got to begin to mean something to you and I. They have to remind us of the faithful God that you and I have on our side. You and I have got to have an active hope, not a passive hope. In Romans 15:13, I want to go back to it again. It says, pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you're going to overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers have a terrible problem because they don't have a source of real hope. Come on, now listen to this. Unbelievers do not have a source of real hope. Whenever they're going through something, what they're going to put their hope in is, like, the government. Let me just tell you something, man. I'm in a bad mood about politics because I have no hope that our government's going to do anything. Are y'all with me? Yeah, well, let me take it back. I do have hope that they're going to just mess stuff up. I mean, man, the administration sends out a note to all the schools in the United States talking about this transgender bathrooms. I'm going to tell you something. That is nonsense, people. It's nonsense. I want our restrooms to be girl and boy restrooms. Not just because one day I get up and I say I feel like a woman, do I want to go into the women's bathroom? And that's about as political as I'm going to get, but I'm going to tell you something. We veered. I don't have any hope in politics. I don't have any hope in the government. And people that put their hope in the government, they're going to be let down. I promise you that. Amen. Besides the government, people can put their hope in people. Let me just tell you something. Don't put too much hope in me. I will mess you up. I mean that. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a flawed man. Come on. You see, people that are out there, that are unbelievers, they don't have any place that they can really say, this is a true sense, a true source of hope. Man, what in the world do they do? People let them down. Governments let them down. God will not let us down. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 6, I want to read a pretty long portion of scripture. This is verse 16 through 19. It says, "Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath." Listen to this. "God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind." Whew, that's good. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Folks, this is it. We need to get positively attached to the anchor that is our hope. As I said earlier, we need to get addicted to hope. I just got to have some hope, man. I need some. I need some hope. If I come creeping around your house at night, knocking on your door, "Hey, you got any hope? I need some." You know, I've done that before. I've gotten up and I've had one of those days, you know, just felt leaking out of you. And I've called brothers. I've had brothers call me. I say, "Man, I just feel like you're really struggling today. Can I encourage you?" And I say, "Man, that's what I need. Give me some hope." They begin to share the word of God with me. Are you following me? They begin to share the word of God. They say, "Man, I don't care what you're going through, JD. The word is true." And all of a sudden, hope just begins to rise in me. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. We need an addiction to hope. Folks, I got to tell you something. I do not know how horrible my life could get if I didn't have hope. And see, I not only have hope for the things that are of this world, but I got hope for eternity, man. Then I was just thinking as I was driving along in my car, you know, because somebody had shared with me how fearful they were of death. And I got to thinking, I said, "Man, I mean, I can't tell you that I'm anxious for death, but death does not scare me. I mean, I threatened my youngest son the other day with death because he wasn't doing something I needed him to do. I says, 'I'm going to kill you.' He says, 'Go ahead. I'll go to heaven.'" You know, geez. I mean, that's the main trump card that I used to play, and now it doesn't even scare him. It shouldn't scare any of us. You know why? Because we have an eternal hope in Christ Jesus that he has gone to prepare a place for me. And where he's gone, he's going to call me to be with him one of these days. And I'm not going to see him dimly, but I'm going to see him just like he is. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live with him throughout eternity. Man, that ought to do something for you and I's hope. The scriptures give us hope. He's a trustworthy God. And he's not only given us these promises, but he swore to them. He's taken an oath. He said, "This is the way it's going to be." This morning I got a reading, and I don't very often do this. I think I've read this in here one time before, but it's just one of these readings that is just, it's good. And so I'm going to try to do it justice as I read along, because it's one of these things you can't just read. You got to kind of read it. Guy put this together a few years ago. His name was S.M. Lockeridge. And it's just good. I want to tell you something, folks. We serve a big God. And man, he is so good. His promises are true. He's good. He breathed, and stars came out of his mouth. Whew. Let me read this. "My king was born king." The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's an ethnic. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. The barriers, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. His enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally grateful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. Hallelujah. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the mighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He's discharged debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the ages, the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Now that is my king. Hallelujah. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness, and he's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. If there's any part in this where you get excited, you could just go ahead and get excited. You don't have to hold anything back. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable. That's my king. Hallelujah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you that the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king! Hallelujah! I'd say I'm sorry for this being so long, but I'm not. He always has been. And he always will be I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him and there's nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Hallelujah. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever. And whenever you get through all of the whenever and evers, then amen. That's my king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this church, I want you to stand on your feet this morning. I want you to begin to understand that there is a God present in this room that wants to infuse your life with hope. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care how long you've been struggling with it. Today, the Holy Spirit is present in this place to infuse your life with hope. Man, it is good to have a bucket load of hope to carry around with you. How's your wife doing? Not real good, but I'm going to tell you something. My God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Hallelujah. He heals my body. He delivers me from my destructions. And his hand is upon her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He is incomprehensible. That's my God. Hallelujah. The heavens can't contain him. All power belongs to him. Oh, the feeble-minded people that think they have power. Oh, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. We are a people, God, that struggles to keep our lives full of hope. But today in our time, Father God, where our hope just seems to be ebbing away, I pray for an infusion, oh God, into our lives of this precious commodity, oh God, today we have labeled hope. And God, may we become a people who are a bunch of junkies, oh God, addicted to hope, God. We've got to have it, Lord God. We've got to have it every day, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to go back to that scripture and read it one more time. This is Romans 15, 13. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in that immovable anchor. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm praying that the Lord, God Almighty, the source of our hope, fills you completely with joy and peace as you trust in his word. I'm telling you, people, we can trust in his word. What he says, he will do. And it's not because we deserve it. Listen to me, church. It's not because we get all of our ducks in a row. It's not because we've really lived a perfect life before him. He keeps his word because he loves us. He is a good God. If you're waiting on all your ducks to be in a row, folks, I'm telling you, you're never going to get there. If you're waiting for perfection to land in your lap, it's too late by then. You're in heaven. He blesses people that aren't perfect. He gives to those people just because they believe he will. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will overflow with hope Hallelujah! Let me just tell you something, folks. There are no such thing as hopeless situations. As long as God is on his throne, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. As I read a little bit earlier, he has no successor, he has no predecessor. He's not going to resign. He's not going to step down. He will be on his throne forever and ever. See, there are no hopeless situations. This is what it all boils down to. There are only people without hope. And this morning, if you're struggling in the area where you just feel like you just don't have hope, or you feel like you just have a little bit, I pray that God, the source of hope, fill you with joy, fill you with peace, because you trust in his word. And then I pray you will overflow with hope, this confidence that you get because God is a powerful, awesome God.